I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We ready to go around the AFC contenders?
I like this segment.
Away we go! Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, the very first one we have. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore.
And let's be honest, Haney carries this segment.
He really does.
He's not carrying the water for anybody.
He's the anchor.
Not like that Lock and Fora dude.
You're right about that, for sure.
All right. Bob, we're starting to talk contracts. This is what happens when you're a good team and you've got good players. It's an amazing – I think it's a positive conversation, I have to be honest, that we're talking about who to pay. And I've been asking everybody in Cleveland, I said, will anything change the day that Lamar Jackson signs an extension with Baltimore? If that news comes down over the next 4 months – when it does come down, because I think it will, does that change things in Cleveland? Are we sure in Baltimore that that news will come down?
I don't know if Lamar gets paid within the next 4 months. I think it behooves the Ravens to get it done sooner, because if he duplicates 2019, his price tag goes through the roof. But Mark Andrews is in line for a big payday too, because he's in the last year of his rookie deal, and he's a Pro Bowl performer. He's Lamar's number one target. The tight end out of Oklahoma. So Mark Andrews is going to get paid. Lamar's certainly going to get his contract. If you're preemptive, Eric DaCosta, Steve Bisciotti, of course, do you save money, air quotes, getting Lamar done now? Or do you, does he do what Joe Flacco did, bet on himself in this season, and then, you know, maybe not get Mahomes money, but certainly exceed whatever Dak Prescott got from the Cowboys, which was a lot, obviously.
What's the plans across the offensive line?
Well, right now it's Zeitler and Villanueva on the right side. And Villanueva, of course, as you guys know, vast majority of his career left tackle for the Steelers. They're going to move Bozeman from left guard to center. He's been running with the ones there the entire time at OTAs and yesterday's mandatory minicamp. Tyree Phillips was at left guard yesterday, the second-year player who last year started at right guard, replaced Yanda. Then was at right tackle, and Zeus Jr. had to move to the left side. When Stanley got hurt, looks like left guard will probably be Ben Cleveland, rookie out of Georgia. And when Ronnie Stanley comes back, and Harbaugh said yesterday he's expected back for week one, obviously he'll be at the left tackle spot, the blind side.
Obviously, one of the continuing conversations in Baltimore is what this offense is going to look like this year for Lamar Jackson, and whether or not enough was being done to remedy some of the issues with wide receivers. I mean, where's the fan base on that stuff right now?
Still a little skeptical in regards to what Marquise Brown's going to be in his third year. Sammy Watkins, former top five pick. He's had an injury history, kind of settled, it sounded like, for the Ravens, who actually settled for him as they made a move for Schuster and T.Y. Hilton. As well, Rashad Bateman has looked the part of a first-round draft pick so far. Tylan Wallace, a fourth-round pick, he's been pretty impressive too. But Greg Roman's the guy that's kind of under the microscope, not Lamar and the inconsistencies throwing outside the numbers or, you know, the unreliable deep ball. It's all about how Greg Roman is going to get the most out of the skill set that he has. And Roman said last week to PSL holders that he'd like to see the Ravens dump off to the backs a little bit more, and J.K. Dobbins wants to be part of that. Gus Edwards, who's really not all that great at it, wants to be. Justice Hill is kind of adept at it. But Lamar, his instinct goes those first couple reads, and boom, he's gone. So he thinks, you know, me running probably is a better plan than dumping off to a running back. Roman's the guy that's under the microscope in regards to getting the most out of this pass offense.
You just beat me to the next one here, so let me ask you. Did you realize you were making a critical mistake that we always do in mini camp when you mentioned Rashad Bateman looking like a first-rounder? Wouldn't you hope so, Bob?
Well, how about Odafe, because it was Jason at Penn State, Odafe Owe has not looked that part just yet.
Wow.
He was the other first-round pick, kind of still a project. The athleticism is off the charts, but big talking point around here is this guy, first-round pick, had no sacks for a team that lost Judon and Ngakoue in the offseason. But Bateman has looked the part, yes, and Owe maybe not so much. So it's a mixed bag with the first-round pick so far.
We got into a heated discussion earlier today about whether or not we should be taking the Pittsburgh Steelers all that seriously. They still did finish with a better record last year than the Browns, but obviously we know what happened in the playoffs. What do the Ravens fans and the Ravens media think of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I can only speak for myself in regards to the media. I think they're the third best team in the division. Fans kind of dismissing them as well so far. I mean, once you got to see what Roethlisberger looks like. If there's any pace on his fastball, anything resembling what he used to be, then he's obviously scary again. Not as scary as he used to be in his prime. But it's Ravens-Browns or Browns-Ravens. And Vinny and I talk about this all the time. I think the Browns have the most talent man-for-man in the division. And Vinny agrees, but he thinks the difference between the two teams is that quarterback, and he'll take Lamar over Mayfield to separate the two when it's ultimately said and done.
That's
but I like the.
Oh, I just accidentally. Go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry. You there?
Oh, no.
You there?
Yeah.
I cut you off. I'm an idiot. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. Yeah, I think the Browns are the most talented team. They got to exercise their Ravens demons ultimately.
Bob, thank you very much. I'll try not to do that again.
He carried it. Bob carried it again.
The anchor of this segment, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. We now go to Joe Biscaglia. Find him on Twitter at Joe Biscaglia. He's the Bills writer, reporter for The Athletic in Buffalo. Joe, when is Josh Allen going to be paid his money?
I would guess sometime this summer. I mean, that's kind of the way it's gone with these quarterbacks that teams seem to be really invested in over the last 10 or so years. There's only been a couple of examples of where the quarterbacks have not signed in the lull of the summer heading into their fourth season. So I would expect that the Bills are working to try to get that done. They cleared out a bunch of cap space for this year to try to alleviate some of the money that they would have to add to the season by converting Stephon Diggs' base salary into a signing bonus. It cleared about $7 million or so. So I would anticipate it would be sometime in the dull month, so to speak, from June to July.
What is the discussion about the type of money someone like him, who was very inconsistent but then made a gigantic leap and essentially was an MVP candidate most of the year last year, what kind of money you're willing to pay that guy doesn't necessarily have the track record that some of the other highly paid quarterbacks have?
Yeah, it's a weird negotiation, right? Because we really haven't seen that type of consistency from him until last season. But the Bills are firm believers that they have their guy. And I think they want to lock him up sooner rather than later, where he might establish more value and potentially the price tag goes up. Before they even know the salary cap figure next year, maybe that could be some motivation to try and get things going to where maybe they could get a quasi deal, if you can call it that, with how much teams have to pay quarterbacks. But I wouldn't expect anything close to what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes. But I'm sure they're probably looking at that Dak Prescott contract and thinking what maybe they could do between the Bills and Josh Allen.
How underrated is Sean McDermott?
I think he's pretty underrated. He is very good at corralling the team together and making them feel like they have a shared goal and that they're one with one another. He's very good. I mean, he talked about it when he walked in the door, establishing a chemistry within the locker room, establishing culture. He has very much done that since he's come to Buffalo, and it started really with his first year where they made the playoffs basically out of nowhere. And for the first time in almost two decades. I think McDermott is extremely talented as a defensive play caller and as a defensive coach, and he knows what he sees. He also gives complete control of the offense to Brian Daboll, just kind of gets out of the way there. Sometimes he steps in occasionally, but he's a guy who's very good at being a CEO and not trying to micromanage too much. So he is underrated, I would expect.
How's Greg Rousseau looking?
So far, so good. I mean, he is extremely tall. I mean, he's almost 6'7". It doesn't look like he's near 270 pounds, but he is. You can see the speed right as he gets off the snap. He's still going to have some give and take about what he can actually do this year. I would expect he's probably more of a rotational guy this season just because they have some guys ahead of him. But they are very excited about him and the guy that they got in the second round, Boogie Basham, is more of a versatile defensive end / defensive tackle guy.
What's a better tandem, Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley or Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry?
I think I have to go with the guy who's at the top of his game, Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley. And that's not the slight Odell Beckham. He's just coming off an injury. Jarvis Landry's getting a little bit more up there in his career. Diggs is one of the most dynamic receivers in the NFL right now. He's right smack dab in the middle of the prime of his career. He's got such a good rapport with Josh Allen. So I think you have to factor in the quarterback a little bit into the discussion, but mostly from a receiver-based standpoint, I would take Diggs over the other four, which would lead me to believe I would take Diggs and Beasley over Beckham and Landry.
Is Mitchell Trubisky looking okay?
No.
I mean, no. Joe, he's a Northeast Ohio guy. Come on.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's true. He's been just fine. I mean, he's not going to be pushing for the starting job anytime soon. He'll be there as a break glass in case of emergency. He's thrown a couple of picks in the practices that I've seen so far. So we'll see once he gets more acclimated as the summer kind of goes here. But he's trying to rehab himself, and maybe he'll earn a starting job somewhere by 2022. But yeah, I haven't really seen it with him just yet.
Thank you very much, Joe. Joe Biscaglia from The Athletic in Buffalo. But now I'll go to Kansas City and welcome on Alex Gold, 610 Sports in Kansas City. Find him on Twitter at Alex Gold. First up, how much discussion was had on Monday about the comments that Travis Kelce made about Cleveland and playing the Browns and the Chiefs and Browns are neck and neck? What was your guys' show like?
Right, yeah, no, we definitely talked about it, and I think kind of how we viewed it was essentially he was talking to a hometown paper. He was talking to the Akron paper there, and obviously had some really nice things to say. Look, I think Cleveland is absolutely in the mix, but I think they're in the mix with everybody else. I don't think they've separated themselves to where they're the clear-cut neck-and-neck contender, as Travis Kelce initially said. And he kind of walked back the comments yesterday, guys, when he spoke to the media. He was asked about, all right, your comments about the Browns and how do you view the AFC? And he kind of gave an answer which put him in mid-season form. I think he listed off about 13 teams, guys, that are contenders in the AFC. So he kind of walked back the comments a little bit about Cleveland.
That offensive line, obviously the focus after the Super Bowl, and it was everyone's pets' heads are falling off after that game in the Super Bowl. But now, how much better do you feel about that offensive line, if at all?
Yeah, the offensive line completely revamped in Kansas City, and yeah, they suffered an injury this week to Kyle Long, their right guard, but they've got a lot of potential options, including a rookie that they really like in Trey Smith. And I think for Kansas City, the way they viewed it is, look, you saw what happened in the Super Bowl. We all did. We saw that can never happen again with your $500 million quarterback. And so they went out and attacked it as aggressively for one position unit, I think, as we've really ever seen on the offensive line. And so people feel great about the left side of the O-line there with Orlando Brown from Baltimore and then Joe Tooney, the free agent pickup. And then there's a chance they could have. I mean, the big question is how many rookies are starting? Is their center going to be a rookie in Creed Humphrey, or is it going to be the veteran in Austin Blythe? Are they going to have a rookie right guard, or are they going to go with a veteran in Laurent Duvernay-Tardif or one of the other veteran backups? Are they going to go with a rookie right tackle, essentially a rookie, a guy that opted out, in Lucas Niang, or are they going to go with a veteran in Mike Rimmer? So there's questions on the O-line, but everybody feels like suddenly the offensive line could end up being a strength of this football team, which is a complete reversal from where it was a year ago.
Alex, this seems incredibly stupid to even ask about because Mahomes is great. Every team in the NFL wants a Patrick Mahomes to take him over who they have right now. But is there any part of Patrick Mahomes or the Chiefs fans that think he might have taken just a little step back last year?
Dumb question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's a dumb question, but nobody's concerned about Patrick Mahomes one bit. No, nobody's concerned about him. People were concerned that, hey, if this offensive line doesn't get fixed, that we're going to be talking about one of the quarterbacks that gets, you know, hit the most in the NFL, and he can't be running. I think it was, 400 yards is technically what he ran around when it came to the Super Bowl without contact and everything. And so nobody's concerned about that. I think now the question for him this year, if there is any question, it's about, without Sammy Watkins, even though he's not available much last season anyway due to injury, can he upgrade the wide receiver group with his own talent? We ask quarterbacks across the NFL all the time, and Aaron Rodgers and others, to elevate their wide receiver core, even if they don't all have number one and number two options. Travis Kelce is your number two option. Tyreek Hill is your number one option. But can he elevate some of the guys that aren't as well known in the NFL, and Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson, or a guy that you guys are familiar with that people are talking about here in KC, and that's Antonio Callaway.
Would you pay Baker Mayfield now or later? 20 seconds, go.
So I would pay him now. I will say that's still my big question about the Browns. And when people talk up the Browns this offseason and people say, well, they're just up there with the Buffalo Bills as well, I still have question marks about him. The lasting image that I have is Chad Henne in the game, and Baker Mayfield can't lead his team back to a victory at Arrowhead Stadium last year. And so I think they'll end up paying him. I think I'd pay him, but I have questions whether or not he can ever beat Mahomes.
Did you not see that defense, Alex? Did you not see that terrible Browns defense, and you want to put that one on Baker Mayfield?
That's how we're doing in KC. I know you guys are excited about what the Johnson kid, the safety you guys are bringing in and all that. Clowney, I don't care about Clowney. Like, that's me. That he's got
to
prove it.
I lie to myself constantly. I know when a fan base is lying to themselves. You tell that fan base, you send this and record it and send it to them. That fan base in Kansas City is lying to themselves about Baker Mayfield. Alex, thank you.
You got it.
Alex Gold, 610 Sports in Kansas City. Remember, all three of those great guests, Bob Haney, Joe Biscaglia, Alex Gold, all on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I got to discuss that when we come back. It's Ken Carmen and Lima on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.